Guys, when I say casual Christianity, what I'm referring to is people who think maybe I can have God and I can have my sin too. You know, I mean people who think that they can pray maybe a couple of times a year, maybe go to church on Easter and Christmas, and that gets them into heaven. I mean people who hear God's word but have no respect or reverence for it. We live in a culture that is increasingly more and more flippant about Jesus Christ and his teachings, right? We see it all the time online, like, oh, my Jesus is just a Jesus of love, right? But what those people don't realize is that in reality, Jesus' teachings were quite radical, right? Matthew 16:25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Guys, Jesus himself is the opposite of casual. When we follow Jesus, we are called to do things that no one else would ever willingly will willingly do if you're not following Christ. Being a Christian is not a casual thing, and it should not be taken lightly. And what the Apostle John writes here in his letters, and this is exactly what the Apostle John writes here in his letters. He writes that some things, that we as Christians are to take very seriously. Things that we need to take to heart, meditate on, and believe in. In his writings, what John is doing and addressing here is he's combating false teachers that are minimizing the severity of sin and denying the true nature of God. His goals here throughout 1 John are to promote joy amongst believers, to prevent sin, and to protect against false teachers and deception. And he also has this grand overarching goal of providing assurance of eternal life for those who are truly in Christ. So as we go forth with this series, what I want you guys all to do is perform a heart check, right? You guys know, and I'm stealing this example from David Wright, but you guys know how when you go to, actually, you may not. When you go to the mechanic, what they'll do sometimes is they'll plug a little thing into your car that'll give you all the readings and tell you everything that's wrong. Like they'll run a diagnostic check. And that's what this series should be for us, right? Let this series be a diagnostic check of our heart, a diagnostic check of our relationship with the Lord. You know, we want you guys to listen to these messages, and I want you guys to ask yourselves, am I being a casual Christian? Am I really all in for Christ? Do my actions reflect what I claim to believe? And to help us perform this heart check, each of these messages will have a title, but the title is also a challenge. So we're going to go through 5 weeks of this. Week one is going to be walk in light. That's your challenge. Walk in light. Am I being honest with myself and confessing my sin to the Lord? Or am I hiding it in darkness and shame? Week two will be walk in obedience. Am I taking to heart the commands of the Lord and living them out daily? Or am I just hearing them without actually doing anything? Tony Cho's going to do that one. Week three, walk in truth. Am I giving in to the lies of what the devil is feeding me? Or am I discerning the truth from the word of God through prayer? Week four, this one's going to be David Wright, walk in love. Am I loving my Christian brother and sister? Or am I practicing hate as those who haven't experienced the love of Christ do? And week five, walk in assurance. Am I confident that if I were to die today, based on my heart check that we've done throughout the past couple of weeks, that I'm going to spend eternity in Christ, or in heaven with Christ? The goal of this sermon series for you guys is twofold. One, I want you guys to perform this heart check and or excuse me, if you perform this heart check and you do realize that you've been practicing casual Christianity, the goal for you is to refocus your eyes on God and to step up in your faith. You're never too young to be a part of the church. You guys are the church. You're part of the church today. So stop practicing casual Christianity. Stop living the double life of light and darkness and fully commit to walking in the truth and love of the gospel of Christ. So that's the first goal. If you perform the heart check and realize that you've been practicing casual Christianity, it's time to step up in your faith. But if you perform this heart check and you realize, you know, I am walking well with the Lord, and you have that assurance of your faith and of your relationship with God, the goal of this series is to assure you of your salvation, that when you go to bed at night, you can know 100%, if Christ were to return today, I would be with him. If I were to die today, I would have nothing to fear, for I would be with Christ. We want to assure you guys of that. And the challenge for you guys would be to continue walking in light, but also to grab a hold of your brothers and sisters who are in that first category and help pull them along. We want you guys to step up as well. Those of you who know that you're walking in light, those of you who have that assurance, grab a hold of your brothers and sisters and take responsibility for them as well. Because whichever group you guys realize that you're in after we do this heart check, we want you guys to grow as men and women who realize that the life that you've chosen as a believer, as a follower of Christ, is not a casual one. It is a life where we are called to live as living sacrifices for the one that sacrificed his life for us. So let's pray, and then we're going to get into the text for today. Bow your heads with me. Father God, Lord, I know that we can all treat you casually sometimes, Lord. Father, I know that we don't always give you the proper reverence that you deserve in our lives. And God, my prayer is that as we go throughout this series, that all of us would just realize, Lord, that you are not a casual God. You are not something that deserves second place in our life, Lord. But that all that we do should be to glorify you and to please you, Father. So, Lord, I just pray that you would break barriers, open up hearts, Lord, to receive not from me, but directly from you. In your mighty name we pray, Father. Amen. So, as Todd talked about, our theme verse for this whole series, and also our theme verse for today, is going to be 1 John verses 5 through 6. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and the truth is not in us, or we do not practice the truth. What John is teaching here, and what I want all of you guys to understand, is that you have to pick a side. You're either all in for God or you're against him. There is no in between. There is no middle ground. You can't say that you're part of God's kingdom while you're still daily having fellowship with darkness. And that's why the title of this message, and again, the challenge for this message, is Walk in Light. Right, casual Christians, which we don't want to be, casual Christians, they walk in darkness. And to look at some of those traits of casual Christians versus those who are really pursuing Christ, we're going to open up our Bibles and we're going to look first to this passage in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is... All right, again, God is, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we're starting off again with our theme verse here. Verse 5 says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, we've said this word darkness a lot. Light, darkness, light, darkness. What are we talking about here? Right? What does it actually refer to here in the scripture? Well, darkness in this context, it's a lifestyle, right? It represents a lifestyle of sin, full of falsehood and rejection of God's truth. That's what we mean when we say darkness here. Basically, if you're living in darkness, you're living in sin, right? So what John asks here is, how can we claim to have fellowship with Christ, who, what do we say? God is light. How can we claim to have fellowship with light while we are walking in darkness? It doesn't make sense, right? And what light represents here, light represents God's truth, his goodness, and his character. So when we claim to love God, who is light, and yet we live in darkness, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't equate. Verse 6 even tells us that if we claim to have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we are liars. If we claim to love God, but daily we are reflecting darkness and sin and death, we are liars. Because let me ask you guys a question. Can darkness and light exist in the same space? Yes or no? No. Darkness, the definition of darkness is literally the absence of light. The absence of light. The two cannot occupy the same space. Have you guys ever been in pitch black? And I mean truly pitch black. I'm not talking about your bedroom at night. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I leave my window open, get some moonlight in there, because I can't sleep in the pitch black. But if you've ever been in complete and total darkness with absolutely no light, it is suffocating. It's all consuming. I'm talking about the darkness, the kind of darkness that there's no difference between when your eyes are open and when they're closed. I'm talking about the darkness that feels so deep that it feels like it's alive. It feels like it's a living void that's pressing against your skin. You can't see any shadows because there's nothing to cast them. You can't see any edges or outline. There's no difference between what's right in front of you and what's 5 feet away, 10 feet away. That kind of darkness is suffocating. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. A sinful lifestyle is suffocating. A sinful lifestyle is all-consuming. Darkness cannot exist in the same place as light. And as we've expressed, God is light. Darkness cannot exist in the same place as light. But the casual Christian will try to mix the two. They try to mix light and darkness, but it doesn't work. If we say we have fellowship with Christ, but we continue to live our daily lives in the absence of his light, we are liars. But if we walk in light as he is light, then we can have confidence in the fact that we have fellowship with one another and with Christ, who washes us clean from all sin. But in order for Jesus to wash us from our sins, we first have to acknowledge our sins, right? 1 John 1:8-10. Someone stand up and read it for me, please. Thank you, John. Guys, what John is saying here is that we have all sinned, and it's very important for us to acknowledge that. Right? None of us are free from sin, nor will any of us ever be free from sin while we're here on this earth. And I don't think that we take the time to acknowledge that. I don't think we often enough take the time to realize how totally depraved and wicked we are without Christ. Right? Many of us here, we grew up, you know what? Raise your hand if you grew up in a Christian home. Most of us here grew up in a Christian home. And I think that what can happen for us who did is that we tend to minimize the small sins, right? Oh, it was just a little white lie. Oh, he's rich. He's not going to miss $2. What I'm doing isn't going to hurt anybody, right? We tend to minimize these small sins because at least I'm not out killing. There's people out here who are killing, who are getting drunk daily. There are people out here who are having sex outside of marriage. There are people out of here who are doing this, this, and that. At least I'm not doing that. I feel like that's what tends to happen when we grow up in a Christian household. We can minimize the small sins. But guys, let me make this extremely clear. Sin is sin. There is no small sin. All sin leads where? To what? Louder. All sin leads to death. And as people who are aiming not to be casual about our faith, we have to start by acknowledging that we are not as good as we think we are. What Corinne told me that her youth pastor, Joe Slack, used to say, who's our winter retreat speaker this year, he said, "You suck, but God." Right? You suck, but God. I suck, but God. Right? None of us are these naturally good and moral people, but we are wicked and depraved, but God. We are lost in the trespasses of our sin, but God. We were walking in darkness, but God. Because without Christ, we would all give in to our selfish and sinful desires. And if we are minimizing our sin, or even worse, ignoring our sin altogether, we're completely deceiving ourselves. But if we acknowledge that we are sinners and confess and repent of our sins, we have someone who is advocating for us by the right hand of God. 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2. "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but of the sins of the whole world." Right? So John said, all right, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. We all have sin, right? But what he's writing these letters for, the reason he's writing these letters, he's hoping that we wouldn't sin, that we would have an aversion to sin. But when we do sin, we have Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, pleading our case. He has already paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Because Jesus loved you so much that he laid down his life for you. Because he knew that we were sinful creatures. He knew that we would continue to sin and sin and sin. And this is shown throughout the whole Bible. No matter who the biblical figure and how great they are, sin keeps on creeping in. And Jesus knew that we needed him as our Savior. Because we constantly forget about God, or we reject God, or we do things that are evil in the sight of the Lord. And like we said earlier, the price of sin is death. But Jesus went ahead and paid that price on our behalf. He did it so that when we inevitably do sin, we can acknowledge and confess that sin to our Father and be forgiven. And that brings us to our first table time here. A couple of questions for you guys. What are some ways people our age might try to follow Jesus but still hang on to things that don't honor him? Why do you think it's so easy to try to mix the two? And number two, why is it so hard to admit when we've messed up or done something wrong? Let's take about 5 minutes and talk about those questions, and then we'll come back. All right, let's bring it back. We still have a lot to get through. All right, one person. What are some ways people our age might try to follow? Okay, Murillo.
I said because a lot of people our age, they grow up in a Christian household, but they grow up in a household where they only go to church on Sundays and they don't actually read the Bible and they don't have any knowledge about the Bible and about what the Bible teaches. So they grow up and they kind of go with the flow at school and with their friends, and they just do whatever their friends are doing, and they don't have any actual discernment between what their friends are doing and what is morally right and goes with the Bible.
Yeah, we can clap for that. Man, I don't even want to ask another person, so I'm not going to. Let's keep going. So, guys, as we talk about walking in light, as we continue on, John, he gets into some specifics about believers being children of God and how they ought to imitate their Heavenly Father. We ought to imitate our Heavenly Father. So let's go to 1 John. We're going to skip all the way to chapter 3, starting at verse 1. It says, "See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." So right here, John kind of takes a break from his message, his big sermon. And what he does is he reminds us that we are children of God. Remember what I said, he's writing to a church here. He's writing to correct them and to correct false teachings. So he is writing to a group of mainly believers. And so he takes this little break as a point of encouragement and assurance to the church that he's writing to. See what kind of love the Father has given us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We are children of God because God has received us and he calls us so. Our security is in that promise. In that promise that God loves us so much that he would call us his children. Right? In that promise that God loves us so much that he would send his son. And the promise that we would be with him for eternity. And that's where our confidence needs to be in. Our assurance needs to be in. Because if my confidence in my faith comes from how well I perform on this earth, then I'm in trouble. Because none of us are without sin, right? Including myself, none of us are without sin. I don't always feel the most connected to God. There are times in my life where I felt extremely disconnected. There are times in my life where I've wanted to pull away because of my pain. There have been times that I've even stopped going to church for a little bit in my life. I've struggled with sin. I struggle against sin. But you know what? None of those things ever changed my identity as a child of God. And this reminder that John gives us of our assurance, he's telling us that it doesn't come from the things that we do once we accept him. Right? But at the same time, what he's not doing is saying that since our assurance is in God, that we can just walk in darkness all that we want to. No, that's not what he's saying. In fact, what he's saying is that as Christians, we should be a complete enigma to the world. As we try to walk in light, we should seem very different and weird to the world. Right? Because people aren't used to others being humble and going and asking for forgiveness when they're wrong. They're not used to people going out of their way to show love to those who hate them. They aren't used to us desperately fleeing from wickedness and sin. So guys, if we are walking in light, we will seem very different from the world. We'll seem very different from those who don't know him. right? Guys, have you ever met somebody and just thought that they were a little bit strange, and then you go and you meet their parents, and you're just like, oh yeah, that makes sense, you know? That's how it should be with us and God. That's exactly how it should be with us, with God. People should see us and be like, wow, they're really weird. I'm like, yeah, I'm just like my father, you know? That's how it should be. The world doesn't know us because it doesn't know him. We live in an age where Christians are being called bigots because of our beliefs, where people think that we are hateful and we're exclusive. People have hostility towards us because they do not know who God is. They don't understand that this isn't just something that we do on Sundays. But as non-casual Christians, our faith is the driving force of our lives. As people who are striving not to be casual about our faith, the word of God should penetrate every inch of our lives. From the way that we walk, to the way that we dress, to the way that we think, to the condition of our hearts. The word of God should be at the center of all of it. And John goes on in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. He says that when he appears, we will be like him. This means that when Christ comes back, we will be just like him. Right? When he returns, he isn't going to be sitting here with a scale and saying, all right, you only read your Bible 300 times this year instead of 365, you know? That's not what he's going to do. But when Christ returns, he will show the nature of our relationship with him. He's not going to be evaluating it, saying, you did this wrong, you did this wrong, you did this wrong. Have fun in the flames. That's not what he's doing. But when he returns, there will be an immediate and a distinct unity between Christians and our Heavenly Father. Verses 1 and 2 are meant to remind believers of the assurance and security that they have in Christ. It's meant to be an encouragement. Because, and I think that John puts it there because it's necessary for us to understand how we can properly walk in the light of Christ. Because I want us to understand that as believers today, we are secure in the free gift of salvation and we don't have to worry about our eternity. And because of that, we can look at verse 3 just a little bit differently, right? What does verse 3 says? It says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, if we were looking at this from a lens without the assurance of Christ, if we were looking at this without knowing that we were secure in Christ, we might think, oh, I have to perform really well to have this assurance. I have to do really good and do all these different good works in order to get into heaven. I have to live every day completely pure and perfectly in order to spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. But we know that's not the case. Like we just read earlier in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So we know that we can't live a sinless life. So then why do we try to purify ourselves? Why do we do our best to walk in light if we will never be perfect on this earth? Well, when we have hope in this promise and the fact that we're going to meet Jesus and dwell with our Heavenly Father forever, that allows our mindset to change. When we begin viewing life from the lens of eternity with the Father, it encourages us to renew the way that we live. Paul says in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 15, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Guys, what we as non-casual Christians have to realize is that this earth is not our home. We will not be here forever. And so while we were on this earth, out of our love for Christ, And out of our hope in the future, we are to live with purity and walk in light today. We must walk in light and in love as mature believers in Christ. Paul says that mature believers should think this way, and if they don't yet, we are to pray that God would reveal this to us. Right? The reason that we press on through pain, we press on through suffering, we live life differently than the world, is because we have this eternal mindset of spending eternity with Christ. And that eternal mindset helps us keep in step and walk in light. That when we go home to our Father, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because as we're about to read in verses 3 through 10, guys, you have to pick a side. Either you are going to walk in light with Christ, or you are going to walk in darkness with the devil. Let's read 1 John 3, verses 4 through 10. It says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins," talking about Jesus, "and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or know him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." That's heavy stuff, right? Now, I think verses 4 and 5, most of us can easily agree with, right? Sin is lawlessness, yeah, for sure. Jesus appeared to take away sins, definitely, we agree with that. But then we get to verse 6. "No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or know him." Ouch. But then let's continue on. Verse 7, "Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And then we're right back to "whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil." Those are very strong words from John. Very strong words. And it might even be a little bit confusing because a few chapters ago in chapter 1, John told us that if we say we have no sin, we're a liar, right? But now he's saying that if we continue sinning, we're of the devil? Does that just mean that we're doomed to fail in our pursuit of walking in light? Does that just mean that we're stuck in walking in darkness for the rest of our lives? If that's where your mind is going, I need you to take a breath, slow down, and listen. Right, here's a couple of points we need to consider. First of all, what John is doing here is he's writing to condemn false teachers within the church who's saying that Christians can be believers and live in sin at the same time. And what this section does is it makes a strong stance against that. Right? Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. John is saying that Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to remove sin. So what sense does it make for followers of Christ to continue living in sin? It doesn't make any sense. Now, the second thing to note here is that what John seems to be talking about here is the permissibility of sin. I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm going to walk in my light and my darkness too. That's what John's talking about. And what he's taking a stance against is that as Christians, as followers of Christ, as followers of the one who came to defeat sin, we cannot live in unrepentant sin. as people who profess Christ, we cannot live in unrepentant sin. Now, that doesn't mean that I never fall short. That doesn't mean that I never sin. But it does mean that when I do sin, I should acknowledge it as sin. Right? I did this, and it's a terrible thing. Once I acknowledge my sin, I need to repent of my sin. God, I know that I fell short. God, I know that I sinned against you, and I don't take that lightly. And I choose to turn away from that and choose you. And then the last thing we need to do is we can't make a habit of that sin. Right? Like we read earlier, Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That's how seriously Jesus takes sin. Now, that is hyperbole. Please don't go cut off your right hand and tell your parents I told you to, but that is how seriously Jesus takes sin. We need to run from sin, escape from sin. And the last thought to take from this section is that verse 8 says, whoever makes a practice of sinning. This means habitual sin. This means that we're constantly walking in darkness, not walking in light. This means that you're allowing your sin to enslave you and being consumed by the darkness, and you're okay with it. Guys, if you continuously sin with no heart of repentance and you allow that to be your lifestyle, then you are not walking in light. If you are living a continuous lifestyle of sin, you are living in darkness. You are living your life as a casual Christian who has no reverence for God. And I'm not saying that to scare you, but I am saying that to warn you. God is to be taken seriously. And if you're trying to live with one foot in, one foot out, it's never going to work. We are to take sin seriously and acknowledge and repent from that sin. And that brings us to our second table time. Look, we don't have time to do all of this. Let's just do number two. What does it mean that no one who abides in him keeps on sinning? How can we reconcile that with the reality that as believers, we still struggle with sin? Take about 2 minutes and discuss that, and then we'll come back and close out. All right, guys, let's bring this back in and close out. So the difficult news here is that we have sin. The difficult news here is that we are sinful people. But the wonderful news is that as followers of Christ, we know that when we do sin, we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of God, advocating for us. He came to this world and he lived a perfect life. And then he chose to lay down his life, dying the death that we deserved, so that we could be saved. He laid down his life as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And then he rose 3 days later, defeating sin and death, so that all of us could be in the right relationship with God the Father. And if you're not a follower of Christ today, that's what we hold out to you. We hold out a God who wants to rescue you from your sin and from the darkness and the depravity of life without him. You don't have to identify with your sin. You don't have to identify with the devil. Because God holds out a free gift of salvation, and the price has already been paid. You don't have to walk in the all-consuming darkness of sin. God is light, and he wants to pierce through that darkness of the sinful lifestyle that you're living and bring you into relationship with him.
And if you want to hear more about a life that is illuminated by the love of Christ, please come talk to me. Talk to one of any of the table leaders here. Talk to Todd, to Corinne, but we would love to have that conversation with you. Because at the end of the day, it all comes down to what you reflect. When we choose sin and to walk in darkness, we choose to reflect the character of the devil. But when we choose to not sin and we walk in light, we choose to reflect the character of God. Verse 10 says, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." And Judah, you can go ahead and come on up. Now, when John says that it is evident here who are the children of God, he isn't saying that you should perform for people. We're not putting on a show. But what he's saying is that when you live your life in a righteous way, following God the Father, imitating Jesus the Son, depending on the Holy Spirit, that righteousness of God will be evident in your life. And I want to encourage everyone here to choose to walk in the light of Christ that he has laid out for us. John urges us to walk in the perfection of Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong, we'll never be perfect on this earth. But when we strive for that, we will continue to slowly get closer and closer to God's character. So as we end today, and as the band comes up, I would like to ask you guys to stay quiet, because we're going to take a quick time of prayer and reflection. And you can look through these questions and you can choose which one you want to pray through. But we're going to stay silent, and then I'll close us in prayer after a moment of reflection. So go ahead and take some time to reflect on this. Father God, we are sinful, Lord, and yet you still love us. You still chose to send your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, Lord. And Father, the only natural response to that is to live a life in dedication and service to you. So God, even though we have our flesh and our sinful nature, I pray that your word would pierce our hearts. God, that you would be the center of everything we do in this life. That we would not think of you casually, Lord, but that we would choose to walk in the light of Christ that you have laid out for us, God. God, help us to change our minds. Help us to not be like the world. Help us to escape from the depravity and darkness that our sin and the devil tries to trap us in. Because Jesus, you defeated death when you rose from that grave, Lord. You conquered sin so that we no longer have to be slaves to sin, but can be slaves to righteousness, Father. So God, I pray that you would change the heart of every person in this room. God, that we would hate our sin. That we would hate our sin and no longer have fellowship with darkness, but walk in the light of your love, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen.